Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
So tonight, starting a series on the foundations of what we believe, and this first session is called The Miraculous Birth. And we'll do one also on the sinless life, and we'll do one on the death and resurrection. And all three of these messages focused on the man Jesus and the incredible storyline that we have in our faith. And, you know, as I'm recognizing that when I started doing ministry in 1999, from that time period to now, things look very different in the landscape of Christianity. There has been a lot of just fundamental teaching that has been lost. There's a lot of things that are being taught that aren't Bible in pulpits. And so I'm recognizing that we are ministering in a generation that is losing a lot of its heritage. And so while I've never done a message specifically on the Christmas story or on the birth of Christ, I'm just looking at this going, as simple of a message as that is, I think we need to be plumb lined in it. And what better time than, you know, the week of Christmas for us. So what we're going to do tonight is actually going to be a little bit different. I've put together the storyline from Luke and from Matthew, and we're just going to take it chunk by chunk and just read it. And actually, I'll just make this an offer to you. As I was thinking about this, preparing just kind of my heart and my mind during worship, I think probably what we're going to do as a family is I would just bet we start a tradition where we get these notes. All that's on these notes is just headers and the Bible verses, and turn it into some little booklet that we're just going to start reading on Christmas, because I went through and did the chronological order, taking the passages from Matthew and from Luke so that we could get the whole story from those two Gospels about the birth of Jesus. And I just, if it's something that's a interest to you, email me and I'll send you the notes, and you guys can utilize it as well. I think it'll be a good read through for, if you will, the Christmas story. So the miraculous birth, we tonight are just going to be talking about the reality and the testimony of the scripture that our faith is based in a man being born whose mother was human and whose father was God, and how there's never been anything like that before, and there's no basis of comparison, and there's no way that we can try to allow our minds to reason or rationalize or make sense of it. It's miraculous. What happened in that womb is a miracle. And so we're going to read the story tonight as we are moving in on Christmas. We're going to read the story tonight of what occurred that week and the time frame just right thereafter. So if we can put up Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. This is the angel visiting Mary. And so here in Luke 1, 26 through 38. And you guys, if you wanted to open your Bibles, that's fine. I'm going to be moving at a pretty good clip though tonight. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. This virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to name him the name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Just looking at this passage, there's like 10 miracles here. There's this appearing of the angel. There's the announcement rather to Mary that while she's a virgin, God is going to do something for the first time in human history. He's going to have a virgin have a baby. I mean, just imagine this moment, this young Mary. She's a God-fearing woman. She's a young lady. She's pledged to be married, and she's told that she is going to be impregnated by God and give birth to God. I mean, this is the wildest thing. I mean, we always think of Mary, you know, as Mary, the mother of God. Mary, the mother of God, and we think of her as this historic figure. Think of her as 17-year-old you. Think of her as you're doing life, you're pledged to be married, and all of a sudden an angel shows up. So you've got a tip-off that something supernatural is going on. But this angel says, more or less, I am going to do something that will be completely misinterpreted and you will be looked upon as scandalous. You'll be looked upon as though you committed adultery. No one's going to believe that you were impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't impregnate people. That's never happened before. And so here's this righteous woman, and she's told by the angel, you found favor with God. And she's thinking, man, something great's about to happen. I've been found favor with God. I am highly exalted. I'm highly favored of the Lord. What is about to be told to me? Am I going to become rich? What's about to happen? Oh, I'm going to give you the greatest scandal you can possibly imagine. I just look at this and go, the way of God sometimes is this way. In order to get us to the most incredible purposes that he wants to birth, it starts with the most difficult trial on the front end. How is she going to explain this to Joseph? Joseph, I'm pregnant. Well, Mary, how did that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit did it. Sure, he did. Well, Mary, what are you hiding here? What? No, really, I'm going to give birth to God. Do you understand what's going on here? This young lady was put in a very serious situation. And yet there's an angel, there's this supernatural pregnancy. I mean, lo and behold, she takes the pregnancy test, $8 at Walgreens, and lo and behold, I'm pregnant. And yet she's not been with a man. She's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And she goes, there's a miracle growing inside of me. And I was just told that this miracle will be called the Son of the Most High. I mean, this is powerful. And then she's told, I want you to believe me, Mary. I've already birthed a testimony in Elizabeth, your relative. She was told that she was barren. You remember? Oh, yeah, we know that she's barren. Yes, she's not barren. She's actually in her sixth month right now with your son's cousin, John. She was given miraculous conception herself. Of a different way, but that her womb was opened up so that she could give birth, and that I'm making that baby a testimony to you as a promise that you can believe all these things are true. And then we find out, as we know, that not only was that miraculous conception in her cousin Elizabeth, not only was that miraculous, but then that baby would then be the forerunner for the Messiah. I mean, there's this crazy tapestry that is going on here that the Lord is weaving all these things together to make a shout from heaven. But it's a quiet shout. It's a shout for those who are listening. But if you're not listening, you'll completely miss it. It's so loud. It's so clear. Angels, two miracles in the womb. The angels appearing. All the dreams and such that follow. There is a true miracle that is occurring here. But you'll miss it if you're not paying attention. And most of the world missed it. Just love it. And Mary says, "Hey, I'm God's. Do what you say. Whatever." You know, I love that posture of heart, and it's one that we all want to have. And we just go, Lord, whatever crazy journey you're taking me on, I'm yours. May it be to me as you've said. Whatever you say, Lord. What a brilliant takeaway that we can have from the life of Mary, who Mary understood she was about to go through some trials. Her family was going to think it very odd. She had to keep it a secret. So Joseph's the father. He's the pappy, all right. She just has to kind of smile and grin and bear it. I mean, there's all these interesting things that are here as a part of this. But she's told nothing is impossible with God. And she says, well then, may it be to me as you have said. All right, let's get this next verse up there. Matthew 1, 18 through 20, 21. An angel now visits Joseph. So an angel just visited Mary and gives her the testimony. Now the angel visits Joseph, and man, this was the nicest thing God could have done for Mary, because Joseph would have had a real hard time getting his head around this whole deal if he hadn't had an angel himself. So here we have Matthew 1, 18 through 21. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. And after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." An angel appears to Mary and tells her the plot line. An angel appears to Joseph and tells him the same plot line. But did you notice he knew that she was pregnant? There was a season, whether it was a day, a week, a month, we don't know. There was a period of time where Joseph knew that his wife was an adulteress. He knew it. What other choice could there be? He knew his wife had committed adultery. She's pregnant. And he had it in his mind to divorce her quietly because he didn't want to make a big deal about it. He loved Mary. He didn't want to make a big deal. He didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. But he was readying himself. After he considered this, he was ready to divorce her. That means Mary, they had the cry conversation. They had the cry it out conversation. She told him. She had to have. He knew that she was pregnant. So she approached him, probably told him, "I had this angel come and visit me. He told me that he was going to make me pregnant with the Holy Spirit. I'm pregnant." And in the midst of this, Joseph, he couldn't hear it. Just like you wouldn't be able to. He couldn't hear it. It was too far-fetched. It was unbelievable. And so Joseph, who loved Mary, Mary who had only done right, God allowed Mary the pain of her husband thinking that she was an adulteress. God allowed it. God permitted that pain. And Joseph had it in his mind to divorce her quietly. And before he had a chance to act on it, though, God intervened, sends an angel to him, and says, "Joseph, don't be afraid to marry Mary. The story that she told you that was so outlandish that you scoffed at and you were ready to divorce her, it was true. The child really inside her is a miracle. Call him Jesus." The very name that the angel had told Mary to call the son, the boy. Both of them heard from God the name of this boy, Jesus. They didn't have any guesswork. They didn't need to wonder what they were going to name him. Both of them heard it. Both of them were encountered by an angel. Both of them were told, "This union is good, keep it. The baby is good, keep him. The name of the baby is Jesus, and he will deliver many." This is so powerful. God moving in this family unit. I love the kindness of God to help this family forge and in such strength that they would be able to forever know that God was with them. But even in the midst of that, there was the delay. And I just look at that and go, we've all got delays in our life. And they're from God. I mean, many of them. Wouldn't it have been just as easy for God to have given Joseph the dream the same day that he gave Mary the encounter with the angel? I mean, wouldn't it have been just as easy for them to both have the angel encounter the same day so that Mary and Joseph both come together and go, "Man, I got to tell you what happened to me today. Well, I got to tell you. No, you go first. Oh, let me go first." Wouldn't that have been just as easy? He didn't do it that way. He allowed Mary to look scandalous. He allowed Joseph to have the pain in his heart of feeling like the woman that he loved had cheated on him. He allowed it. I marvel at this and go, God, you allow the pain sometimes. We have to trust you even through it. And sometimes you do things to us that we are not comfortable with, that we don't like. There's these delays. You could have spoken, but do you know what? He's good. And he did speak. He did speak to Joseph. And Joseph did have that angel encounter. And it really was a really big deal. And I just imagine Mary for a day, a week, however long it was, a month, we don't know, crying every day, God, why? I thought I was highly favored. I thought you were with me. I thought I was going to give birth to the Son of God. What is all this about? Why is my husband about to divorce me? What a terrible way for the Son of God to come into the world, into a divorced home. And the Lord did it all. And he spoke to Joseph. And so Joseph then stayed with Mary. So then next point, Joseph took Mary to be his wife. Matthew 1, 22 through 25. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. And he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. You know, look at this. You know, a young man getting ready to marry his wife, he's excited about that union thing. And yet in this scenario, he's told that she's with child and you need to not do the whole union thing. So Joseph takes her home, the normal time where they would have a consummation, where they would come together and be man and wife. They just go home and celebrate the fact that she's pregnant without any help from her husband. And there's this baby growing inside that is going to be called Emmanuel. And there, I love the testimony that Matthew gives here that brings back the Old Testament scripture out of Isaiah that promises that the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. This miracle. That is the most interesting miracle. It's a miracle unlike any other kind of miracle. That human beings aren't asexual. Human beings can't make babies without there being the DNA of another. Women are amazing, but they can't make a baby without some help. But this one did. As far as human help, she had none. But the Holy Spirit came and impregnated Mary, and they knew that this was going to be the Son of God. And so the Old Testament, or the verse out of Isaiah, that he will be called Emmanuel, a child will be given birth from a virgin. Unbelievable. And it's the testimony that this is how God would enter into the world. You know, you imagine now the Jewish prophets, or the Jewish scholars rather, and they knew the Old Testament scriptures. They knew the scrolls. They knew the prophets. They knew Isaiah. And there had been this prophecy that probably was a bit unusual to them, this idea that they had probably a real hard time getting their head around, and that is, somebody down the line is going to have a baby who's a virgin. And when she does, her child is going to be called God with us, Emmanuel. None of the scholars interpreted that to be God is going to come and impregnate a woman, and then she will give birth to the Son of God. None of them were thinking Son of God. None of them. Even though the baby of this virgin is going to be called Emmanuel. And so, just such an interesting, powerful a piece of the heritage there. So, what happens here? Mary visits Elizabeth. Luke 1, 39 through 45. So, Mary hurries, because she wants to go find out what's going on with her cousin Elizabeth. She wants to see if it's true. Mary hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." More miracles. There's like five more miracles here. So it says she hurried, meaning she didn't have time to send a letter to tell Elizabeth what was going on. She's hurrying from the scenario that she was in of finding out that she's pregnant and becoming Joseph's wife. She's hurrying from there to go greet her cousin Elizabeth. And when she gets there, as soon as she hears the greeting, all of a sudden, Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Spirit and starts prophesying. Elizabeth has no knowledge of these realities in the natural. Mary hurried to get there. And she, I mean, it's across the countryside. It's not like it was like, go next door, and she sent a letter ahead of time. She shows up, and her cousin Elizabeth knows nothing. But as soon as she gets there, Jesus in the womb, or John the Baptist in the womb, leaps at the recognition that the Messiah is in the womb that's coming into the room. John the Baptist leaps within Elizabeth. He leaps. It's such a picture of the forerunner ministry. He's leaping. He's declaring Jesus even before Jesus comes. Here is this baby in the womb, John the Baptist, leaping. And when he leaps, this dynamic situation all unfolds all at the same time. The baby leaps. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean she had a neat God moment. It means the Holy Spirit fell in power. When you see filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, it was a violent, crazy thing. I mean, you're talking about the Holy Spirit falling and moving and probably physical manifestation, and all of a sudden they start prophesying. I mean, it was a wild, impacting reality. She's just minding her own business, probably doing the dishes. And all of a sudden, her cousin comes in the door and says, Elizabeth. And as soon as she does, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. She starts shaking. She drops the dish. The baby in her womb leaps. And she starts prophesying with great clarity. Look at the clarity. She says, blessed are you among women. Well, why am I blessed? I'm your cousin. Blessed are you. The child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord, the mother of God, why am I so favored that God's mom is here to talk to me? You're not my cousin, not merely, you're the mother of my Lord. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord is here? How does she know this? The spirit of prophecy rested on her, fell on her in that moment. She said, the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Do you know what just happened, Mary? When you walked in the room, John the bee in my womb, he leapt. He jumped. He jumped in my womb, and as soon as he did, I was filled with revelation of why. I understood that the child in my womb, who I've already heard from the angel, the child in my womb is going to forerun for the Lord. And now I know where that Lord is. He's in your belly. Why am I so favored that you're here today with me? And blessed are you, Mary, that you believed what the Lord said to you. How does she know that Mary believed? How does she know that Mary isn't just coming over for a visit? How does she know that Mary is even aware? How does she know that Mary believes? She's filled with the spirit of prophecy. And she prophesies over, she says, blessed are you that you believed. You are a blessed woman that you believed God. Because I know it's been tough. Man, that's been a tough road, but you believed God. She's filled with prophecy. This is so crazy. Filled with the spirit of prophecy. And she prophesies over, blessed are you because of who's in your womb and because you believed. You are blessed because you believed what the Lord said. Another lesson. Blessed are those who believe what the Lord says to them. Blessed. Against all hope, blessed are those who believe. Man. And just here we got Elizabeth prophesying over Mary and over Jesus with great clarity. Just imagine Mary going, really? Like, you know? The angel told me, but it's so good that there's this extra bit of encouragement coming out of you. And I, actually, Elizabeth, I heard something from God, too, about you. You just told me, but I knew before I even got here, I knew that you were pregnant because the angel told me. There's this cool, like, Mary knew something, and then God told Joseph. Elizabeth knew something, and then Mary found out something. And then Mary knew something about Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, even before Mary got to say it, Elizabeth told Mary. I mean, there's this cool conversation going on that's all this prophetic overtone over the whole situation. So powerful. You just imagine their Christmas that year, you know, their family get together, obviously, didn't have Christmas. Their family get together that year, it was just wild, the stories. So tell me that part again about the baby leaping. No, you tell me when the angel showed up for you. Joseph walks in, no, let me tell you about when the angel came and talked to me, because it was crazy. You know, I was about to divorce her. They're all sitting around talking, sharing the craziest God stories. I mean, what a fun meal that would have been. All right, well, let's look on to the next piece here. The Savior is born. So here we have it now. The Savior is born. First, Jesus' birth was foretold. Now the Savior is born. Born in Bethlehem, Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The Son of God is born into the world, and there's no room in the inn. Probably heard that taught before, have meditated on that some. But think about the picture here. God is in charge of all things. He orchestrates events. God could do whatever he wanted. God could have spoken to Bethlehem, to some guys in Bethlehem, a year before, and say, hey, build the most posh hotel in all of Israel. Build it in Bethlehem. You got some guys, some construction guys kind of scratching their head going, we're carpenters. We don't really know why we'd build such an awesome place in Bethlehem. But okay, I mean, we really feel like that's what God's saying. And by the way, reserve a room so that on this night that there's a vacancy there. In the best room in your five-star suite, reserve the room and there'll be a certain couple that'll come and here's their description. I mean, God's done some wild miracles in this story already. He didn't say a word. He allowed the Son of God to be born in a feeding trough. I mean, he allowed the Son of God to be born outside in the elements, no covering, and was laid in a manger as though that were a cradle. It's not a cradle. This isn't so bad of a description of what it looks like. You're talking about a feeding trough that, like, you put hay and stuff in. They're like you'd eat, like, you put the slop in for the pigs or that kind of thing. Here, baby Jesus, here, God. Here's a nice little thing for you. You were just born. I know it'd be nice if you were, you know, warm and inside and in a cozy bed and had, you know, all the finest things. But instead, you're born out in the elements, away from your home, away from all the comforts of home. You know, for those of you guys who have got babies, you know that it was super important that everything be just right for the birthing of that baby. And your wife needed some comforts, needed to have some things a little bit right, needed to know who was going to be where at what time, and you know, man, is there going to be a bed for me to sleep in, and who's going to look after the baby at this time, and how are we going to get our meal plans taken care of? You know, all those things are put into place. The last thing you want to do when you know you're about to give birth is to have to go on a journey to a city that ain't yours and have to give birth to a baby on the road. This is how Jesus came into the world. It's scandalous. It's wild. God set it up. He said, if it's good enough for my son, who, let's remember that we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness. Jesus was born in a very hard situation, if you will. He was born into a poverty moment, because when you're traveling and you don't have all your stuff, it's hard. You're living less than your capacity. And remember, there was no room at the inn. Can you imagine Joseph? Think about this. Joseph knows who's in there, okay? And he goes, my wife's about to pop any minute. He goes up to the inn. And he says, hey, listen, it's really important. I'll pay double. We've got to get a room tonight. Sorry, booked. No, you don't understand. Kick somebody out. This baby's really important. Yeah, we know. Proud father. They're all important. No, this is like the Savior of the world. Got a Messiah complex, do you? Okay, thank you. I'll let you know. Here, take the buzzer. I'll let you know, if there happens to be an open room. You just imagine Joseph walking away going, I thought we were highly favored. You told... This is God. You're going to let God be born out in the cold? What are you doing? I just imagine Joseph having to, I mean, we all just kind of read over it. It's like, and he was laid in a manger. It's like, does anybody understand the offense they all had to deal with? Mary's going, this is God, my son. I was told I was highly favored. And I'm laying him in a manger and I'm looking at him. I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he's healthy. 10 fingers, 10 toes. I'm excited, but we're out here with the sheep. What? God, I thought I was highly favored. Can you show me some of that? Oh yeah, my favor shows up actually sometimes in ways you don't really expect. I mean, you will forever be remembered as Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of God. You'll be always remembered that way. But I did not tell you your life would be easy or fun. In fact, you will have many, many problems, Mary. And your son will cause the rising and falling of many, and a sword will pierce your own heart. Mary, actually, your life will be very difficult in many respects. But you are highly favored of God. And so forever, because we're gonna live forever, forever, for billions and trillions of years, Mary will be highly favored. But during her life, there were some difficulties that she had to experience. We have a very wrong paradigm of favor. Because Mary was highly favored. What kind of a woman gets to give birth to God? And yet in her life, it's not like everything was taken care of and was plush and fun. She had many difficulties. Scandal after difficulty, after problem, after misunderstanding. And the misunderstandings only got more, only increased as her son grew older. And she had to work through all the offenses. The Savior, nonetheless, was born. The angel appears to the shepherds. Here in this next passage in Luke 2, 8 through 20. Look at this. Now the angel appears to the shepherds. Again, it's now there's Jesus is born. The activity of heaven has been kind of quiet for a little bit. You know, we haven't seen any crazy miracles here for a while. We've got a season now where things have been quiet, and Mary and Joseph are out in the manger, you know, out in the shed with the sheep, and they're a little bit confused. And they need a little bit of encouragement. And while they're out there, the Lord appears through an angel to these shepherds. Here it is, Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things up in her, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which they had just been told. Mary and Joseph are out in this manger feeling like God has forgotten them. And their circumstances don't get any better when these guys show up. Their circumstances are still just as bad, but God does a confirming word in their life. It says there are these shepherds nearby and they're keeping watch over the sheep at night. So God finds some people who are awake, who are willing and available. He shows up with an angel and then the whole hosts of angels, and he says, "Go. The child has been born, the Most High. He's a baby in a manger." You just imagine them going, "The Most High is in Bethlehem, like right up the road, in a manger? What's he doing in a manger?" "He's in a manger." And they're like, "In a manger? We don't believe." And then all of a sudden, the brightness goes from 10 watt to a trillion watt when all the angels are shown. So it's like, "He's in a manger? He's in a manger? Do you believe this? I don't really believe this." Boom! 10,000 angels. Okay, we believe it. We believe it. Whatever you say, angels and hosts and brightness, he's in a manger. It's the Son of God. and they go, let's go see. And they show up and they go, you're the mom of God. Right there, that's God. That's right there is Jesus. That's the Savior, isn't it? And they're just, Mary and Joseph are out there feeling forgotten. They feel like God doesn't care. And here show up these shepherds that don't know them. They don't know anything about them except what they were just told by the angel. And they show up and they go, it's God. That's the Savior. And you just imagine Joseph and Mary's heart filled with so much excitement that God knows them. And probably some inquiry. So why are our circumstances still so bad? If God knows that this is God, if God knows our situation, which clearly he does because he sent these jokers from the field over here to give us some accolades and some praise, he knows right where we are. And yet he's not changing the circumstances, but he is very much encouraging us in the faith journey. We're doing just what we're supposed to do. And they say some crazy stuff. They're like, whoa, this is awesome. This is right what they said. They said the baby's going to be in the manger. There's the baby in the manger. Why'd you put him in a manger? There was no room at the inn. There was no room for God at the inn? Oh, my gosh. I imagine them going over to the innkeeper. Who are you? You think you are? Do you know who that is out there? Innkeeper's like, oh, must be relatives. Yeah, so you guys have got the Savior complex too, huh? Just like, okay, whatever. And just passes them off. And these guys just go away, proclaiming God. They're so excited. Well, it gets crazier. Because there's somebody else who has a testimony. The Magi from the east come bearing gifts. Matthew 2, 1 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and they asked, hey, where's the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where is the Christ to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea. They replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. They went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. Now their situation's gotten a little bit better because now they're in a house. So we don't know exactly what's transitioned, but they're still in Bethlehem. So the concept being they're probably thinking, well, let's not go on a journey back to Nazareth. Not quite yet. Let's keep the baby here, and then when it's time, we'll present him in Jerusalem, and then we'll go from there to Nazareth. So it's still within an 8-day period. It's a couple days later, we're imagining. And these Magi have seen this star in the east, so they've traveled a good long distance. We don't know exactly how far, but they've come some distance, and these guys are just, they're Gentiles. I mean, these guys are just like lost guys that see this Gentile, or this the star, and they understand that the star means that wherever that star is landing, it's the king of the Jews. Interesting. They know that it's the king of the Jews. So they come to the capital city of Israel, thinking, well, if the king of the Jews is showing up in Israel, surely Jerusalem will know about it. No one in Jerusalem knows about this. It says it terrified them, and it set all of them, it made disturbed, not just Herod, all of Jerusalem was disturbed. What do you mean the Christ has come? What do you mean the Savior has come? Yeah, he's come. He's shown up. Well, why don't we know about it? Why didn't God tell us? Why don't we know anything about the Savior coming to our land? Why isn't he here in Jerusalem? Why don't we know anything? And the Magi go, well, we don't know about all that. We're just going to follow the star. And they leave the room with Herod, and they go out, and the star keeps moving, and they follow the star until it says it set over the house. What in the world is going on here? How, is this a star, or is this an angel? What is going on? Because a star doesn't set. And a star certainly doesn't set over a house. How would you follow a star to a house? I mean, there's something miraculous going on here. I imagine probably an angel that they're following. And when they show up, here's Mary and Joseph, and they're still getting a little bit of the buzz from a couple of days ago when the shepherd showed up. But now these Magi show up, these lost guys from the east. And when they walk into the room, they go, that baby is the king of the Jews. They go, how do you know? You guys are magi from the east. What are you? How do you even know? We know. We know by revelation. We came here to bring gifts to the king of Israel. And they go, king of Israel, this thing is getting serious. These prominent figures, these magi from the east, are coming with gifts to our baby. And they present these gifts like you would present to a real king. They come presenting gifts to a real king. That's their thought process. This is the king of the Jews. And they come bearing gifts. And Joseph and Mary are like, how many times is this going to happen? Like, how many people are going to show up and like talk to us about our son? That we've not told anybody. We never told anybody. It was a scandal. We didn't want everybody to know. And here it is, coming bearing gifts. Well, the answer is more. How many more? More. They show up in Jerusalem on the eighth day. This is Luke 2. And now Simeon recognizes Jesus as the Savior. They show up, Luke 2, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him. He was named Jesus, the name that the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents of Jesus brought in the child Jesus, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory, for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary. The birth of Jesus, the shepherds come. A few days later, the magi come. Now they've walked into Jerusalem, and they're planning to have the baby circumcised. And as they go, Simeon gets the word of the Lord, and it says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, led him, provoked him to go into the temple courts. He shows up, he sees the baby, he walks right over, and he starts prophesying. This is the Son of God. This is the one, this one right here. God told me he wouldn't let me die before I saw the Messiah. I'm looking at the Messiah. You just see Joseph and Mary going, oh my gosh, here it is again. Here it is again. We are getting waylaid with the word of the Lord about our son. And there's good and there's bad, because she's told in it, he will cause the rising and the falling of many, and a sword will pierce your own soul. Even speaking to Mary about the difficulty of watching her own son die in front of her eyes later on in life. She's told, you are highly favored. You will watch your son die. You're highly favored. You will watch your son die. I see the fingerprints of the Lord over this story in our own lives. The things that the Lord tells you, the promises that he gives you, you will go through much difficulty before those things are fulfilled. It's the purposes of the Lord. You're not any better than Jesus. You're not any better than Mary, who was highly favored. And Mary was told, you are highly favored. You're going to watch your son die, in effect. That's wild. That's painful. It's real. Mary's really highly favored, and really, Mary had to go really through some difficulties. But in the midst of all that, they were constantly encouraged, but their circumstances were still difficult. There's just so much back and forth on this whole story. And then you imagine just a few minutes later, as Simeon's walking off, this is kind of how I picture it. It doesn't give exact timing. I'm imagining Simeon walking off, and they're like, jaws are still on the floor. Then Anna comes. Same chapter, just a little bit, the next couple of verses here. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. She never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Hey, come here. What, Anna? What? This is him. This is the one that's going to bring redemption to Israel. Anna, that's a baby. No, this is the one. This is the Messiah. He's going to bring redemption to all Israel. How do you know this, Anna? I've been praying and fasting for 60 years for this. You think I don't know a thing or two? It's God. You guys are so glib, you don't know it's God. It's God. It's all over him. All I see is a baby. You need to pray and fast more. It's God. And so she's bringing everybody. She brings everybody over, everyone who is anticipating the deliverance of Jerusalem, the redemption of Israel. All who were God-fearing and devout and awaiting the Messiah, she's going to get him. She says, this is him. This is the Messiah. I have clear revelation on it. And you just imagine Mary and Joseph like, what do you do? I mean, have you ever had somebody like really lavish compliments on you in a way that was just kind of like overboard? And you're like, okay, quit it. Seriously, stop. This is, okay, I'm going to go over here. You can keep saying whatever you want. I can't handle this anymore. They're standing there with this baby, and everybody keeps coming up to him and going, it's God. It's the Messiah. Do you know who you are? Do you know who he is? This is awesome. I'm blessed just to be standing next to you. Come here, you guys. Come check this out. Wild. This is how Jesus came into the world. The positive and the negative. Anna recognizes him. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law, then they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. But the trials didn't stop. This is God, Son of God, the Messiah. And yet the difficulties have only begun for this baby. The difficulties of seeing the prophetic word come to pass have only begun. Because look what happens next. Herod, Matthew 2, 7 through 11. Matthew 2, 7 through 11 here, it says, Herod calls the Magi. Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact location where the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him. But having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Matthew 2, 13 through 15 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So they got up. They took the child and his mother during the night, and he left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. So was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Do you guys understand what's happening here? It's the middle of the night. It's every other day, angel, Simeon, shepherd, magi, Anna. It's every other day, Son of God, the rise and fall in Israel, the deliverance, the redemption. Every other day, these prophetic words. In the middle of the night, the dude is asleep. An angel says, more or less, hey, Joseph, you know how everything's been like pretty sweet here recently? Yeah, we've been settled here and now in Nazareth for a little bit. We got back. It's all awesome. Get up right now in the middle of the night. Get your baby, get your wife, and go to Egypt, a couple of hundred miles away, right this second. And don't come back. You're moving right now. No, angel, see, the way that we move around here is we get the move truck, we get all our friends, we get the new job in the new city, we get all those things taken care of. Go right now. Herod's going to kill your son. Okay, what do we take? You're leaving in the middle of the night. Get out of here right now. Well, are we going for a week? No, you're going to go till Herod's dead. Years. You're moving to Egypt in the middle of the night with no warning. Take your son and go right now. Hurry, he's coming. He's going to kill your son. Go right now. Joseph wakes up Mary. We got to go right now. No, honey, I'm asleep. He's finally sleeping through the night. What are you doing? No, come on. No, we got to go right now. Herod's coming to kill the baby. Oh, okay, okay, you said killing baby. Let's go, okay. And they get up in the middle of the night. They get on whatever path. They take whatever stuff. They're in a hurry. They don't pack up all their stuff. They get like a knapsack and go. They leave their house. They leave life. They leave comfort. And they go to Egypt. They don't know the language. Egypt's not home. They know no one in Egypt. And they go to Egypt and they're not there for a week. They have to move there permanently for a season, for years. Matthew 2, 16 through 18. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. He said, I don't want to miss anything. 24 months and under. Kill every male 24 months and under. I just want to make sure we get him. In accordance with the time that he learned from the Magi, then this is what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. You see what happened here? The Lord delivered Jesus and probably 100, 200, 500 baby boys were murdered in a week. I mean, it's scandalous. It's like, why can't it all be like one way or the other? Like, why can't it all be, if it's a God story, why can't it all be good and work out and everybody be happy and God just, it's not that way. There's difficulties, there's trials, there's pain. I mean, in one sense, if Jesus was the Messiah and the parents could have just said, he's the Messiah, don't kill all the rest of the baby boys, just take ours. God said, no. No, move Jesus right now in the middle of the night. It was very important, the timing, that they go right then. Because those guys that were coming to kill the babies, they were on their way. Matthew 2, 19 through 23, and we're almost done. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and he said, get up. Get up. Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, he took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and he lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. Think about this. He's been in Egypt for however long. He gets a dream. It says, good news, bro. You can go back to Israel. Man, that's great. That's great. You get to go home. He's thinking, you get to go home. Like, finally, this season of darkness is over. You get to go home. Awesome. Mary, the angel came again. He says, we can go back. Let's go. They go back. They show up. He gets another dream. He says, well, it's really not as good as I told you a minute ago. You do get to come back to Israel, but you do not get to go back to your home. Settle in some other part of the land, because the father or the son of Herod is now ruling, and he remembers. This angel warns Joseph, first tells him, hey, it's okay to go back to Israel, then warns him and says, yeah, but you can't really go back home. You do get to be back amongst your people, amongst your culture, all those kinds of things, but you really cannot move back to the land of Judea, because the son is ruling and reigning, and he may try to kill your son. Oh, God, just make it easy already. The birth of Jesus. We celebrate Christmas. Do we remember what happened? This is the story. It's not just he was born in a manger. It's scandal and pain and crazy and prophetic and wonder and miracles and angels and dreams and power and God and disappointment and difficulty and despair and prophecy, some of which were not so good. And God looks at the whole thing and he says, my plan. And all of us are in the plan of God, and it includes all of those elements. The miraculous, the difficulties, the pain, the distress, the disappointment, the confusion, the power. And it said of Jesus in Luke 2:40, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him."
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.